Hello, everyone. Thank you again for joining Dorsey Ross on this episode of The Dorsey Ross Show. In this episode, Dorsey interviews another special guest that will give you hope and inspire you.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to put an ad in this episode. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. One, it's free. There's a creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And I've tried it, and it's really easy to do. It's not as complicated or as difficult as you would think it would be. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and many more. Download the free Anchor app or go to your anchor.fm to get started. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you again for joining me on another episode of the Dorsey Ross Podcast. Today we have a good friend of mine joining us. He and I went to the University of Valley Forge together, and he does a lot of work with youth and with people with disabilities. And he will tell his story today on this show. And I want to welcome to the podcast my good friend, Chris Gordon.
Hey, Dorsey, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, you're very welcome. My first question to you would be, what was it like growing up in a Catholic home?
Yeah, so growing up Catholic, it was a really, really great experience. You know, I know you go to an Assemblies of God church, right? And you've kind of grown up in that your whole life.
Right, I have.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're very, very different, though they're both, you know, kind of fall under the guise of Christianity. They're both very different. Catholic church is very, what they would say is liturgical. And so there's a priest, and he wears garments, and there's like organs and pianos, and, you know, and sometimes, you know, old school Assemblies of God churches can have that too, but regarding the music, but the theology is a lot different. And for me, what was really cool about it was there was a reverence that I, you know, picked up on as a real early, you know, there. And when I say a reverence, I mean like, you know, when you were in church, like everybody was quiet, you know? So when people entered church, you might talk in the hallway or in the foyer, but when you were in the sanctuary, you did not talk. And we did the whole sit, stand, kneel thing and everything. And, you know, whereas in an AG church or a Baptist church or anything like that, there might be a lot more talking in the sanctuary before and after the service. But it was a really great experience. And one thing that I really loved from an early age was, you know, I loved the Mass. They call their service Masses. And I used to pretend to be a priest when I was a kid, and I used to have Masses in the basement with my stuffed animals and stuff like that. And I would wear a robe and pretend I was a priest and stuff. So very early in life, I kind of felt, you know, a pull toward ministry. So that was really cool.
Yeah, I know what you're saying with the, you know, liturgical and being quiet and everything. When I, you know, the church that I grew up in, it was a Pentecostal church. But the pastor, you know, had that reference where, you know, you had to be quiet in the sanctuary, you know, even if, you know, say like a guest speaker or, you know, a guest music, you know, choir came, they had to put on their, you know, their robe or their, you know, special outfit before they could even go into the, you know, sanctuary. You would not, he would not allow you to walk in there without, you know, a proper outfit. You know, you had to wear, you know, the slacks, you had to wear, you know, nice dress shirt, you know, things of that nature as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
How did you come to Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Oh, great question. Yeah, so growing up Catholic, I always knew the stories of the Bible, and I knew the story of Jesus coming, and was born of the Virgin Mary, and that's why we celebrate Christmas and Easter, and Jesus dying and rising again 3 days later. I knew all about that. But when I was in high school, I had a friend and a friend of mine and his father talked to me and a group of my friends, and they spoke about a relationship with Jesus, and they spoke about knowing with certainty whether or not you're going to go to heaven or not, and I didn't know that certainty at the time. I was baptized and I had received the sacraments in the Catholic Church and did first penance and first Holy Communion. But he spoke of, knowing for sure, that you had a relationship with God, that if you were to get in a car accident that day and die, would you go to heaven or not? And, I just wasn't 100% confident in that. And he also talked about the stuff they did at youth group, and they played games and they had a live worship band and stuff like that. And so that was very intriguing to me. So I went to this church that's about 20, 25 minutes away from where I live, and I started going to their youth group. And so I continued to be an altar boy in the Catholic Church, which was my entry into ministry, I would say. But the youth group, man, I just really, really, really loved that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. I loved, the youth group as well, and seeing the youth and just being able to interact with the youth as well. And I think that's part of my story of how, and why I went to Bible college was to become, a youth pastor at some point in my life.
Yeah, that's really cool.
You sometimes, refer to yourself as you and I have talked as a, Catholic, Pentecostal.
Bapticostal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Catholic Bapticostal or something like that. I came up with some funny term.
Right.
Yeah.
How has that transformed your faith and belief over the years with being in different, denominations and different churches, and each one pretty much having a different type of theology as far as different belief goes?
Yeah, great question. So every church I've ever been a part of has been Christian at its core. I've never strayed from that. I was born and raised Catholic, and then I started going to an Assembly of God church in high school, and then went to the University of Valley Forge, which back then was Valley Forge Christian College, and that's an Assembly of God school. So that was a great experience, and I learned about the power of the Holy Spirit, through that process, and how, like Romans 12, 1 and 2, about how Jesus changes us, by the renewing of our minds. That was really, really awesome. And then, we'll get into this more, but then I ended up going to a Baptist church, later on in life, and really, really, really just, slightly different than Pentecostal because they don't believe in the gifts of tongues and stuff like that. But it was just really what I needed with my walk with the Lord and accountability, and ended up being where I met my wife. And then now I go to a non-denominational church. And so I've learned a lot at each step in my Christian walk at each place that I've gone to. I would say that I believe that you definitely could be a Christian in any one of those churches. I wouldn't say that one of them you couldn't be. But I think the most important thing is to know, you know, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible talks about if you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord and Savior. You know, and I'm terrible at scripture reference, as you can see. But basically, if you believe it in your heart and say it, then, you know, you are saved. And so I believe you could be in any one of those churches and be a Christian. But yeah, each one of them had a different element. You know, the Pentecostal Assembly of God experience was learning the power of the Holy Spirit and how he could change and transform you in your life. And in the Baptist church, you know, I had great fellowship in that church and, you know, met a lot of people who studied the word a lot more deeply than I do. And now in the non-denominational church I'm in, it's kind of like a mix of all of it. And I just really love it and love hearing, you know, the different backgrounds that people come from and just kind of having the word of God be the foundation. That's really the most important part of the church that you go to.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. You and I, you know, both went, as I said earlier, both went to the University of Valley Forge together. What made you decide to go to Bible College and study youth ministry?
Oh, great question. So, there was two things that I felt called to when I was a kid. And one of them was, I wanted to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Because I had issues myself, you know, and that's kind of why I'm still in the mental health field as well. But then the other one was ministry, and I talked about that earlier with being an altar boy in the Catholic Church and all that stuff. So when I was a junior in high school, I felt called to go into youth ministry. When I went to a Pendle youth camp was Pendle Youth Convention, right around Easter weekend that they do every year down in Hershey. And I specifically felt called to youth ministry then. And then my senior year, I felt called to go to Valley Forge Christian College, and which is now the University of Valley Forge. And so I went there for youth ministry, and that's what I felt God called me to. And it's been really cool because I volunteered at a youth group for, you know, probably two or three of the years I was in college. And I've been involved in Youth for Christ basically ever since I graduated college as a volunteer, and was even on staff at one point, and have considered it again even as of recently. And then I also currently, you know, work part-time at my church doing the youth group at my church now as well. So it's been really cool to see all these dots kind of connect in my story, how God has used me to work with kids both in a secular, you know, world with mental health issues and disabilities and all that stuff, as well as in a church and in a parachurch organization such as Youth for Christ.
Yeah. So give us a little bit more detail about, you know, the work that you did after you left Valley Forge.
Yeah. So regarding work I did after I graduated college, I worked at a gas station, at my family's gas station, for a couple months until I got a job at what's called a residential treatment facility that was about 45 minutes away from where I currently live. And I worked there for about a year and a half. But that was, I learned a lot of how not to work with kids there. That was not my best shining moments in my career. But I was also really close in age to those kids too, which made it kind of tough. And I learned there that my strength is at least at the time, I could probably do a better, I know I would do a better job now, but at the time I learned there that my strength wasn't working with kids in the juvenile justice system. It was way more working with kids with special needs and you know, different mental health issues. So I ended up working as what they call a TSS, and I worked with a variety of, you know, different kids with autism and kids with ADHD and kids that had Down syndrome and all kind of different stuff. And so that was way more in the lane that I was comfortable with. And so I've done that. And from a TSS, I switched to working in a school or in a home with a kid one-on-one to a program called school-based. And so I did that, and that was kind of cool because it was like a combination of TSS, working one-on-one, but also like case manager. And so there I would have like 7 or 8 kids on my caseload. And, you know, just for example, let's say John Doe was being good today, but, you know, Billy Doe isn't having a good day. So I could go sit with him today and help him out in his class. So I had a couple of different kids that I worked specifically with in that job. And that was really cool. And it was great because then I was in one school all the time. And I got to know the teachers and the principals really well. And it was a great experience. And then since then, I've worked in a couple of different programs. As of recently, I went to a program known as Family Based, and that's really intense. Where we went into people's homes, and it was me and a master's level clinician who would go into people's homes, and you know, there were really extreme cases with kids that you know, had suicidal ideation or experienced severe trauma. Maybe they were extremely violent. You know, maybe they, you know, wanted to leave home, or they were in foster care, or whatever it might be. And I worked with, you know, with those kids. And now I'm in case management. And so I kind of coordinate services for kids with a huge range of disabilities or mental health issues. And I can work at this juncture for kids anywhere from basically age of like 5 to the age of like 18. So it's pretty cool. I've kind of done a lot of different things since college, and you know, that's just secular work. That's not even including the youth ministry stuff I've done.
Right. And what were some of the youth ministry stuff that you have done?
Yeah, thanks. I've worked with Youth for Christ basically since I've been out of Bible college, so somewhere around 2005-2006. And the main ministry that they do in our chapter, so how Youth for Christ works is it's actually all over the world, and it's a parachurch organization, which means it's not affiliated with any specific church. And so it's just a Christian organization. And so that's one of the things I love about it. And so they have a couple different branches of ministry. And the one that we do really well in our chapter is one called Campus Life. And so we work with high school kids. And a lot of them that would just typically never set foot in a church, and some of them do, and that's great, and that's awesome. But what's cool about it is we don't have it in a church. And so for years, what we did was we would have, for my campus life, you know, I work at the school that I'm the alma mater, so Valley View was the high school I went to. And so for years, we would have it at different kids' homes and stuff like that. And we would, you know, have a host home for the night, and every week we would pick a different one, and we do it every week throughout the school year. We would have some games. Sometimes the family would provide snacks. Sometimes I would provide snacks, and then we'd have a topic for the night. And whether that topic be drugs or dating or, you know, whatever it might be, bullying, you know, stuff like that that kids deal with today. And we would have a topic, and we'd have a discussion based on that topic. So it was great because we were huge on earning the right to be heard. And so it's not quite as preachy as a church youth group might be, which there's nothing wrong with that. But this is really cool because you're engaging the kids, and the curriculum is built that way. And then we would have a wrap up. And so we would talk about, in the wrap up, it would be like, you know, then we would say, all right, this is what the Bible says about this topic. And we always tell kids, like, hey, you're allowed to come here and completely disagree with everything that we say. We just want you to think about what we have to say. And that's all we want. We want you to think it through. But we highly, highly encourage discussion. And it's really great when, you know, kids disagree with each other and they're respectful, but they passionately, like, go back and forth in certain discussions and kind of exchange their ideas. And where I'm just kind of more of a moderator, that's like a really successful meeting when that happens. So that's what I've done, you know, basically since like 2005, 2006. And then, you know, just recently, the last year and a half, I've, you know, been fortunate enough to be the director of student ministry at my church, the Grove in Scranton. And so we have a youth group there, and it's pretty small, which is actually good during the pandemic, because it limits your numbers anyway. But I've really enjoyed doing that as well.
Yeah, that is cool. And it's cool to see, you know, how you went to, you know, the University of Valley for youth ministry. And, you know, now, you know, I mean, you've been doing youth ministry, but now you're doing youth ministry in, you know, in the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's really awesome. And real quick. So I mentioned that we used to do campus life in different homes and stuff like that. Well, praise God, about 4 years ago, me and my wife were looking for a house, and we ended up getting the opportunity to buy a house with a storefront attached to it. And so when I came and looked at the house, I felt immediately that this is where we were supposed to be. And so, you know, that's a whole long story in and of itself, but here we are, and that's where we still have campus life to this day. So that's really, really, really cool. And then as far as doing the church ministry, I wasn't even seeking that. That's another opportunity that the Lord opened up for me, just like I wasn't seeking to buy a house with a storefront attached to it. We just started going to this church a couple of years ago, and, you know, one of the guys that are on the team with me at the church asked me if it's something that I would consider doing. I started out doing Sunday school first, and then he asked me if I would consider doing the youth group there. And, you know, me and my wife prayed about it and talked about it and you know, felt led to do it. But I that was something that I wasn't even looking for. So it's really neat how God opens doors for different people in different ways. Sometimes you're looking for something for years before you get it. And then other times there's something that you're not even aware you're supposed to be doing. And God just kind of comes and says, here, I want you to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, going back to the, you know, youth and people with disabilities, what do you think we can do better to help those with mental health issues?
Yeah, yeah, great question. So I feel like that's kind of a twofold question, but they both kind of go together. So I would say, one, just in society as general, but then two, how can the church do a better job with people with special needs and disabilities? So society in general, I feel like, and the church both, so maybe I shouldn't separate it, I should just keep it together, have continually improved significantly over recent years. For example, I think of police officers around here get special training, and it's called CIT. I think it stands for Crisis Intervention Training or something like that. And so if they're ever called for a mental health situation, it's very different. A lot of times, you know, especially if they were dealing with, for instance, with somebody that had autism or something like that, than dealing with a criminal. And so they get special training as to how to deal with people that have mental health issues. So you're not just going in and taking somebody down and getting into a physical altercation with them, but learning how to handle people with those issues. In the church, I also think the church has made strides in recent years. And there's more steps to go for sure. But one of the things I think of immediately is, you know, like Tim Tebow's Night to Shine, how he has that prom for people with special needs. And what a great, amazing, amazing ministry that is. And there's a church in our area that does that, and I volunteered and helped out with that a couple times at that church. You know, so those are things that are like really great that we've done to, you know, embrace people with mental and physical health disabilities and issues. As far as individual circumstances and stuff like that, I think whether it be in the church or in a grocery store, I think people just would do really well to be patient with people, to have an awareness and acknowledge, and say, hey, you know, that person's acting funny. And, you know, you think this through, you obviously don't say it out loud. And then you think, all right, well, you know, maybe that's just how God made them or how they are. And you have patience and grace with those people. And if you can help them, if somebody's struggling, you know, just like old school stuff, man, if there's somebody that can't reach something off a high shelf, if you're in a store and somebody looks like they're struggling with something, you know, see if they can use some help. Now, I know it's tough during this time, and I don't want to get off on that tangent, but social distancing and all that stuff. But, like, just have kindness. I think kindness and patience and just looking people in the eye and acknowledging their humanity is so important. And I think when we do that in the church and in society as a whole, you know, I think that's a huge win for everybody. And I really think, you know, Psalm 139 talks about how we're all created in God's image, and we were, you know, he knew us before we were made, and we were, you know, beautifully and fearfully made, or wonderfully and fearfully made, sorry. And just acknowledging that, you know, we're all people, and, you know, we're not each other's enemies, that we can help each other instead of getting frustrated with each other so easily, especially when tensions are high like they are in this, you know, the year of 2020.
Right. Yeah, as we end today, is there something that I missed as a question or that you would want to add, you know, to that? Is there something else that you would want to add, you know, to what we've already talked about before we end?
No, I have to say, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I appreciate you asking me that. I will just share, Dorsey, you shared in the beginning of the pod that we really became close friends in the last year of school. And that's true. And that's kind of it's just kind of neat how God works with stuff. And I know I've shared this story with you before, but I'll just share it for everybody listening. When we were at freshman orientation, I could still picture it just as clear as day, being in the commons in the front of the school, and they had tents and stuff set up for orientation and everything. And I remember seeing you with your dad and your mom, and I just remember thinking to myself, I don't know that guy's name, I don't know anything about him, but I'm gonna be friends with that guy. And I remember thinking that, and then you and I talked very, very, very much on an acquaintance basis at best. You know, and we just had different, we ended up having different circles of friends the first couple of years of college, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it just, that's kind of how it ended up going. And then I ended up, as did you, ended up staying a year longer than a lot of my friends, that I had with that circle. And because of that, God worked in that. And I ended up, getting the opportunity in that last year at Valley Forge to get to know you a lot better. And I just wanted to say, I'm really thankful for that. You know, some people would, you know, have kind of isolated or withdrawn after their quote unquote circle of friends had gone off and graduated or whatever. And I just kind of viewed it as an opportunity from God to get to know different people. And you're one of those people that I was like, all right, I'm going to take time to get to know Dorsey and get to be better friends with him. And I'm very thankful for that experience and that opportunity that ended up happening. Because I'm not kidding you. I remember at freshman orientation thinking, I want to be friends with that guy. And then it just kind of, you know, we just ended up having different circles, but it worked out. And I think it's I think it's really cool how that worked out. So I just kind of wanted to add that in there.
Right. And, 15, 16 years later, we're still
yeah.
friends. We still made it
yeah,
all these years.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Sometimes people, fade away, but we stuck it out somehow.
Yeah, we've definitely had bumps in the road too. And I guess just to speak to that, you were asking me about how to how can the church or people or whatever help, do better with people with special needs. And I think some of it is just don't even view the person as somebody with special needs. Like, I literally never think of like Dorsey, my friend with APERTS. I just think of Dorsey, my friend, and that's it. Like, I just think, oh, my friend Dorsey. And, to my daughter and my, son that's on the way, my wife is pregnant currently, like, your Uncle Dorsey to them. Like, that's just kind of how it works. And just like in any relationship or friendship, there's times we disagree or, whatever, but we always work it out. We always,
right.
have forgiven each other and kept on moving forward. And it's been really awesome. And it's a huge praise, and I hope for many, many, many more years like this. And I'm thankful to see the Dorsey Ross Ministries do great. And I just want to throw out there, guys, if this is the first time you're listening to Dorsey Rod podcast, you can access all the rest of his podcasts that he's done. And Dorsey also has a book out there. I'm a friend, and it just seems natural for me to be saying this, but I'm telling you, Dorsey's been through a lot of stuff in his life. And if you ever read his book or listened to his other podcasts, it's amazing the stuff that God has carried him through. So I'm just lucky enough to be considered one of Dorsey's friends, but really you would do well. It would be worth your time to go and buy his book and listen to his podcasts. And if you ever get the opportunity to hear him speak somewhere, do it, because it's really, really amazing. All of us have gone through really hard stuff, especially this year, but Dorsey's testimony will remind you that God is with us all the time, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he has a plan for us. So I just encourage you. That's my plug as a friend that I promised Dorsey did not ask me to do. And but I'm just giving it out there because it's worthwhile.
Thank you, Kirk, for that. I greatly appreciate it. And as we end, thank you guys again for joining me. I greatly appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great, holiday and great Christmas coming up and Hanukkah and whatever else you guys celebrate. And hopefully, stay safe, stay positive, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Dorsey Podcast. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for joining Dorsey Ross on this episode of The Dorsey Ross Show. Please like, share, and tell others about the show. Also, please check out the other podcast episodes. And if you would like, donate to this podcast and buy Dorsey a coffee. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.